Beers and Tears would like to acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of the land from which we conduct this podcast, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We recognise their continued connection to the land and waterways and sky of this beautiful place, and we pay our respects to elders past and present, and extend that respect to all First Nations people present today, and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. Emily Wadamara is a beacon of strength and artistry, rising from the ashes with her new single and video, Magic Woman Dancing. This powerful track heralds a new era for the Nipaluna Hobart-based artist, celebrating self-discovery, liberation, and journey towards forgiveness. Emily's music is a captivating blend of English and Anandilayakwa languages, reflecting her deep connection to land, family, and culture. In this episode, we discuss Emily's upcoming track, Midnight Blues, a deeply personal and powerful track about the relationship with one's mother. We chat about the upcoming shows on the horizon for Emily and a new record. Join us as we unravel the stories behind Emily's music and the powerful messages woven into every note. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Beers and Tears. Today, I'm joined with Emily Wadamara. Hello. How are you today?
Hello, Vic. Thanks so much for having me. I'm very, very good.
That is good. I'm glad. Do you want to just like begin by telling me a little bit about how you got into music I guess like the things that you channel when you're creating music and just, how the journey has been and begun for you?
I first started doing music, I think, when I was in primary school. So my first song I wrote, I was like 6 and a half. And that was really cute. It was a song about missing my island, Groot and Bickerton Island, up in the Gulf of Carpentaria. And then I learnt the violin in grade 3. And then just kind of went from there, and I just try to put myself, I grew up in Meanjin, so that's kind of where my love of music and the journey really started and really began. You know, I tried to do everything that I could that had anything to do with music. So like any community events, like just little busking gigs, like I remember playing to like one person, sometimes no people, but it was just like this feeling of being there on stage and letting everything out. And I was writing original, like my own original music, at a very young age too. So I feel like, it's always been a part of who I am, a part of my journey. My family all do, like my mum's uncles, they all play in bands. My Filipino side of the family, they love karaoke, and so, you know, we'd have the karaoke going every weekend, and we'd have the mad feeds, and and then I just kind of realized when I was like 14, I think I got asked to jump up at the amphitheater at Woodford Folk Festival with Shelley Morris and the Borroloola Songwomen to do backing vocals. And as a little 14-year-old, being on that stage amongst these incredible women, it was just a moment where I was like, I want to do this, like, for reals. Mm-hmm. And, it just kind of kicked off. I just, did everything and anything that I could with music, and I just went for gold.
Amazing. Do you remember any of the songs that you wrote when you were younger?
Oh, I do. I was actually going through, weirdly enough, today I was cleaning out my studio and I found a box with, like, most of my songs had been burnt by the fire and the house fire and everything, but a friend of mine had a little box, probably about this big, just filled up with folders that I randomly gave to her a couple of years ago. And I was looking back today at the songs, found that little box, and I wrote this song. It was really a lot of love songs. I used to write a lot of love songs and like that R&B, like, I don't know, R&B soul kind of vibe music. And then it wasn't until I was like, I don't know, 16, 15 maybe, I started to write in Anandilayakwa, in my language. And then just kind of went from there. But I remember this one song that I wrote, and it was about this really, really beautiful person that I fell in love with, and then realized that I didn't love them like that. I loved them like a friend. And so it was just like this whole like realization moment. But then by that time, I think this person had really like fallen for me. And so it was really bad.
I love that. Wrote about that's so cute. I love that. That's a nice realization, though. Like, it's just like a nice cyclical thing.
Yeah, it's a bit bittersweet, but we're still friends.
That's good. Wow, amazing. And you have a song called Magic Woman Dancing that is out in the world now. And it sort of encapsulates like a new powerful era for you. Can you, sort of tell me a little bit about this song and about the inspiration and what it represents for you?
So Magic Woman Dancing is a song that I wrote, well, I started writing in high school, about this beautiful person that I know, who when growing up, like in high school, I used to be so jealous of them and be like, oh my gosh, like they get all the boys, like they get like, you know, they do all these amazing things. They get invited to the cool parties. Like they're so beautiful. They can pull off anything. Like I used to have this like envy towards her. Mm. And then the line first started off with that. I must admit I was a little bit salty. She's so enchanting, magic woman dancing. And then it wasn't until I touched back on the song when I was looking for songs to put on the album. And I had never played this song live. And I looked deep into it, and then you just kind of realize like, oh, actually that person actually inspired me to get out of my comfort zone, to get out of the stuff that I was used to seeing, like my comfort, and the environment within my comfort, and explore and look at all the different perspectives and try new things and have fun and make genuine connections, feel. And I think that, you know, watching this person express herself so unapologetically really kind of made me go, right, that's actually really cool, and I can do that. So I was an inspiration to grow into a bigger version, a better version than what you were before, and let your self-expression just let it go, because I feel like in this society especially, the stigma and the thoughts around sexuality, the freedom within self, to be honest, has been a little bit interesting, because there are so many different perspectives around that. And I think with Magic Woman, when I was writing it, I was like, no, I want people to call themselves out, because no one calls you out more, like, deeper than yourself. Like, I feel like that self-reflection is a thread throughout the song that makes the listener kind of dig deep and go, oh, okay, so where is this feeling really coming from? Do I hate it, or do I want to be it? Like, do I love it that much? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's actually so powerful, like translating like envy into like inspiration, especially like with women, like growing up, like I feel like a lot of women had that feeling of like, you know, envying other women, or like, I don't know, it was just sort of like this ingrained thing amongst
us. I think it still does, like it still is such a, I don't know, such a core to, especially social media, you know, when you're scrolling and you're like, oh my god, she's so beautiful, look at her, oh my god, look at her body. It's like, wow, like we have that internal magic within ourselves that we need to cherish, we need to celebrate, we need to respect, we need to honor, because we only have this vessel. This vessel is chosen for this soul. And I think that there's so many deeper layers that need to be discovered in order to finally release and to start your journey on healing. Like there is a lot of unpacking that you need to do. Like healing doesn't just happen in a year. It happens over time. You're constantly healing.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, that's awesome. It's a great story. You've also been involved in just championing causes like mental health, youth suicide prevention, a lot of environmental issues. I guess, like, how do these issues, or how do these causes influence your music and your role as an artist?
I think everything that I do when it comes to, putting myself in spaces like that, it's comes from a place of experience, from understanding, from my own kind of way of moving through my own life, and that's a reflection. These things are very close to my heart, and these things, I believe, especially, you know, climate, environmental, you know, we can't take care of everything else if we don't have a land, a planet to live on. That's like crucial. And so being a First Nations woman as well, like, I come from a community in the Gulf of Carpentaria where youth suicide is at a very large number. And so this is a huge impact on, you know, my family. So trying to be in those spaces as a source of inspiration, but also as a source of being safe, like just holding a safe space for those who need it, because not everyone has the opportunity to have a safe space. And I feel like I come from a very understanding background, environment, my family. You know, I reflect a lot about everything that I do and how I'm putting my heart and my soul into it, and how I'm also helping change or helping grow this industry and growing people's different perspectives and mindsets. I just really, really want to see our young ones living in a society where they can thrive instead of survive.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Yeah, you also kind of mentioned before about writing and singing in your native language, which you pronounce, but I don't know how to pronounce. How do I say it?
So my language is Anandilioqua.
Anandilioqua. Okay, great.
Yeah, exactly. great job.
And yeah, I guess, like, what is the importance for you in preserving and sharing your language and Indigenous languages through your music?
I think that, you know, language is a reflection of your environment. Like, so by singing in language, like when I first started singing in language, it was interesting. You know, I'm the only female, was the only female from my island who did music and sang and wrote my own songs. And it's not something that, you know, you'd see in communities, like women at the forefront. I feel like when colonialism happened and Christianity kind of came through, there was that mindset that the patriarchy is much more sacred. But in my culture, the women were actually honored and pretty much like worshipped. Like, yeah, it's just beautiful. And so singing in language is important because, you know, not only am I archiving my language, I'm also educating non-Indigenous people on that they're, you know, First Nations people, we are still here, we are still thriving, we are still so very connected to the land, to the culture, to each other. There is a sacred kinship system. There are sacred stories that still get told and still get passed down. You know, I feel like what I'm doing is exactly what my ancestors have done for 60,000 years plus. And I feel like by doing this, I'm honoring them. I'm honoring my past. I'm honoring the present generation, and I'm honoring the future generation. So they have something to go back to and be proud of and be like, this is in my language. Wow, like, that's really cool. I think it's a really special thing, and I really do hope that I am doing it with respect and love and making my ancestors proud as I do it.
Definitely, yeah. I was at Golden Plains over the weekend, and Uncle Barry did like a storytelling, and it was really, really interesting and really special. And he really touched on like preserving Indigenous language, but he was basically saying that like anybody who speaks another language or that should be continuing to share and speak their language and, you know, pass it down through generations and just like hold on to that. Sort of not let it die out essentially, which was, when I was listening to your music and reading through the press release that was sent through, I was like, oh, like that. I just listened to a story telling on that and it's come through here and I just thought it was really interesting.
That's so cool. It's like full circle moment for you.
Yeah. It was great. So thanks for doing that. I feel like it's really inspiring and really great.
That's so sweet. Thank you so much, Vic. It's kind of like really daunting sometimes, you know, when you're expressing yourselves in new ways or like people take the translations different, but I personally am all about the feeling of the music. Like if you're feeling it, that's amazing.
Yeah,
I think this is especially in this time and day and age, we don't allow ourselves space or time to feel and process because there's so much happening.
Yeah, and I feel like it's just like a connection between yourself and the music as well, like listening to anybody singing music in the language that they speak, like if they hadn't, it would almost feel like wrong listening to that song like in such a different way as well, like it was meant to be the way that it is expressed, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, totally. That's so true.
Yeah. And you have another song, Midnight Blues, coming. Can you please dive into this a little bit? It's about, your mother and the power of a mother's love.
Look, Midnight Blues was honestly one of the hardest songs that I ever recorded. Like there was just, I'm so, so, so extremely vulnerable on this song. Mm. When I wrote it, I was at Woodford Folk Festival when the Midnight Blues kind of came to me, and I was out, you know, one night, and I think it was New Year's Eve, and I was with my mom, Shelley Morris, randomly Tony Childs was there as well, so that was pretty cool. and then I somehow got separated from the crew and ended up down at the lake at Woodford. And 2017 was a really massive year for me. I had just left a really long-term, a very long relationship. I had just become a mum, so there was all these, like, emotions going on with my body. My body was changing. I had no idea what was going on. And my mum was there throughout it all. Like it was a challenge, but I wouldn't have gotten through all of that, those challenges, without the backing of my mum and all these beautiful people. And so I sat down at this lake and I just reflected a lot and cried a lot. And this fella come up to me and he, like, I don't know, come down the hill, and he was wearing like this octopusy looking hat, like these like flowy bright clothes, and I was like, whoa. And he's like, yo sis, like, are you okay? And I was like, oh, you know, man, like Midnight Blues. And then I was like, oh, that's actually a cool name for a song. And so I went back and, you know, felt everything. This song, the lyrics haven't changed from when I first wrote it. And I think that that's what makes it so special, is that it's so raw, it's so honest, it's so truth, like so much truth, whether it be heavy or light. But there's, again, this like juxtaposition of balance, like light, you need light, you need dark, but you need a balance of both in order to move through. I feel like too much of one makes you sick, or too much of the other makes you sick, or too less of it makes you sick. So you need to find a healthy balance. And I guess that's what this song is about. you know, just trying to grow from the bad things, grow from the pain, grow from the trauma, grow from the sadness, and be the best version of you for you that you can be, because I feel like we owe that to ourselves. And I feel like when I was going through what I was going through, I had given a lot of my power away to someone. And so this is like me reclaiming that power and that vulnerability through my pain and through my sadness, but also showing how inspiring that is when you come, you forgive, you accept, you let go. Like, I was just so sad of being sad.
Definitely. Yeah. It's a really refreshing, like thing to come out of, but like still be sad, but like not like be so attached to that feeling, like still resonating with it and like understanding it, but like not like fully just like living in that.
We're not letting it have control over you, because I feel like that's a thing that, you know, this song is about like a lot of different things, my mental health, me being a mom, how I was struggling with that, how I was struggling to still find myself amidst all this chaos that was happening and still be a good person. Like, I'm pretty sure at one point I just wanted to punch everyone. I'm pretty sure at one point I was just like, I'm over it. I'm over this. And I think it takes so much courage and strength to say to yourself, I love you. You're worth more than this. Like, you deserve more than this. You are strong. You are incredible. Like, to feed yourself the good stuff, but still be able to feel the bad and still be at peace with that, I guess.
Yeah. Thanks. I love that. And you're playing a one-off gig at Waywards on Gadigal Country, playing tracks from your upcoming album, which is super exciting. Can you tell me a little bit about this performance, about the things that you've been working on? Just what can be expected?
Oh my goodness, this show is going to be amazing. I have my full band flying from Larrakia country over to Gadigal country. This show, I have a few, maybe some special friends that are coming through, so I think it's going to be, I don't know, there's a lot of love that's going to be felt, a lot of feeling. I don't know, people are probably going to cry. I yarn a lot throughout my shows. I talk and I talk and I talk, because I feel like it's really important for the audience and the listeners to not only just come and see like Emily Woodamara, but also to come and see Em. I feel like one can't be without the other, especially when I'm playing and performing. Like, these new songs are so vulnerable, and they're really different to my first album and EP, but they're still the same because it's me, I guess. But yeah, I'm just really excited. I haven't done a headline show on Gadigal Country in years, and I am just so excited to be singing these new songs and with the most deadliest people, and just celebrate, you know, celebrate the time we have together. Because, like, you know, when COVID happened, I had no idea when I was going to play again to a live show. And so every show that I play now with people, I play it like it's my last show. It's going to be really special.
Yeah. Awesome. How exciting. And I guess finally, like, as you are releasing new music and you're preparing to release a new body of work, a new album, how would you, like, if your album could be, if this upcoming sort of new era of Emily Woodamara could be like anything, like a feeling, a color, a memory, like any of those things, like, what would it be?
I, oh gosh, I think this next album is, you're going through different portals. So you're going through different universes. I wouldn't particularly put a color on it. I feel like it's a rainbow.
Okay, cool.
It's a rainbow, a mix of things, but you're going through different portals and different universes. And I think that it takes you on a journey. Like, you're going to go on an epic journey with this album. I don't know how to explain it, but I go really deep. So it's going to be deep. It's going to be epic. It's going to be yummy. It's also going to be really tasty for a lot of people. I feel like this is my kind of like power moment. Like, I'm standing in my power in this next project, and I could not give two F's what anyone thinks.
Amazing. Yay. Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing and taking the time to have a chat.
Thank you so much for having me.
No worries.
This is so cool. It's been really lovely to yarn with you.
She was very outspoken and open.